Good afternoon. Can you hear me okay in the back? So, just before we sit, there were one or two questions that had been left for us on the board, and one of them we thought we would just say a little bit about before we go into the next meditation. This is because someone has written about being very distracted by back pain, and it's not very clear from what you've written how bad it is, so just wanted to say something about it, and obviously without knowing more, it's hard to give really very specific suggestions. If you're reading the note again, I mean, I'm not quite sure if I'm interpreting it correctly. I'll read it out. It says, I'm very distracted by back pain. I only notice it during sitting meditation, and I know my mind is latching on to the sensation. Yeah, it's putting it to the forefront. I'm trying to focus my attention on other parts, e.g. the feet or tip of the nose. Can't seem to find a way through. There's such a lot could be said. If pain is not, and this isn't just about back pain, and it's probably relevant, or something might be relevant actually even for many of us, because inevitably we're going to find discomfort when we sit, be physical discomfort or when we're mentally agitated one way or another. And so of course meditation then can easily become or feel like a struggle. So perhaps the first thing is to notice, you know, if something is quite extreme, then maybe, like, you know, maybe the sitting, for example, if sitting is something which is actually provoking the pain, could be just something about our posture. Could be something very simple, the way we sit. Could be something about the way we sit and then the way we hold our posture. I think we've both been trying to encourage a sense of ease and relaxation in it, so that can be difficult, and it depends what comes first. If the pain comes first, then we're likely to tighten around that. If it's more that we're sitting in a way which is a little bit tight or rigid, then actually that can be leading to us finding ourselves uncomfortable. And that can be more a matter of gradually working a little bit with our posture, the positions in which we sit. Sometimes even making small adjustments can make quite a difference how we experience it. Ultimately, if something is really quite painful and it's becoming very consuming for us, then it's only really on rare occasions that you really want to be sort of gritting your teeth and trying to just stay with it. That really is, that's not for like beginning. And we want to try and find a way to practice, or a way we can practice, where there is more ease in it. And if we're starting off and straight away it's a big struggle, it's like we're likely to be on the back foot, and it's preferable to be on our front foot. It's like our sense of looking forward to sitting and moving into the sitting, rather than, oh, here's something I need to endure. So if the pain is very bad, and it's only when you're sitting, then it might just be something, again, as simple as the posture or a different posture. And if you really have chronic back pain, or you go through a period in your life when you have chronic back pain, it can be really hard to sit. It's not something you really want to be doing. You might find lying down is better, or more standing, or walking, changing the postures, standing up. But then also we can look at what we're doing with our attention. So I'm interested in what you've written about saying I'm trying to focus attention on other parts, for example, feet, tip of the nose, and it can be that with attention we're used to being very focused. You know, it's either I'm paying attention here, or it's there. And of course there's something which is, there's a great skill in being able to do that. This is concentration. So I'm really being able to concentrate in one place, put attention somewhere, sustain it. We haven't really talked about that as what we're really encouraging. This is a much broader awareness. So of course, you know, if something discomfort, it arises and we notice the pull of our attention towards that. And it's okay to notice that pull. You know, yeah, attention seems to keep on being drawn there. That's partly a habit. You know, pain is a signal something isn't quite right. So, of course, we want to go there and see, what is this? But we can also get too close. It's like if we focus in on something which is painful or difficult, sometimes we're too near to it to really see it, or to be able to hold the whole of it with patience, with kindness, and with clarity. And just knowing, and this is a sensation. Pain is it's just a feeling. And sometimes we can think, painful is bad, and I've got to do something. Is it something I can just be with? You know, is it just a little itch? Is it a little slightly gnawing pain? Or is it a sharp pain? You know, really strong pain? That's, of course, very difficult to be with. So, of course, there are degrees. We don't want to really find ourselves always being blown around by just something small. It's like we can learn to bear with a certain amount of discomfort. It's like we actually find a sort of a deeper sense of groundedness in ourselves. We don't get blown around so much by what happens to arise physically, mentally. tree has its roots and tree has a certain amount of give. If the storm comes along, it's very windy, and the tree can give a little bit, but it doesn't get blown over. But you know, ultimately we need to know for ourselves, and definitely we're not suggesting or encouraging, you know, gritting your teeth and digging in. And saying that's something you need to do. You need to know when's the right time to approach practice in that sort of way. One is determination, and really strong determination. When's that called for? So looking perhaps also then at your intention. Or also, it's like, how are you relating to the pain? Oh, this arises. Perhaps I saw it. Quite likely, dislike. I don't want this. This is getting in the way. This is a problem. Something I've got to fix, something I've got to sort out. And then seeing for yourself, what's going to be a kind way that I can, this is what I find, this is what's happening. What does it really mean for me in this moment to be kind with this experience? Is it to stay with this discomfort? Allow it a bit of space. Is it to try and notice what else is there without trying to hang on to anything else too tightly? Do I maybe need to hold on to something else quite tightly? Maybe I need something quite strong. I do know some people who have a lot of pain, a lot of physical pain. One woman I know, with a sort of serious illness, she told me years ago, I can't practice meditation because, I just can't do it. But she told me she would often be awake late at night, because she was in pain, discomfort, couldn't sleep, but there was something that she did, and I said, well, what's that? And she said, well, I start thinking about my family and the people I know and the people I care about, and I said, just bring them each to mind. Think about what's happening for them at the moment, and I hope so-and-so's okay, I hope that really goes well, I hope things go well at work for them, or I hope that difficulty at home, I really hope that you manage to find some sort of resolution to that and things get easier. And she just goes through her family and her friends, and after an hour or so of doing that, usually I feel an awful lot better. And then I can sleep. And she's just gone through, just use the thoughts, bringing them to mind as a way of placing her attention with an intention of well-wishing. And sometimes it's hard to direct the well-wishing to ourselves. if we're in a lot of pain or a lot of discomfort, and we find it easier to think of others. In our meditation, we need to be creative and to find what works for us. And sometimes it's hard to know, it's like, what's the range of possibilities? All sorts of things are possible. We're starting off with some fairly conventional suggestions. You're probably already arriving here with the knowledge of some ways of approaching practice. And of course, we can try and apply these, try and work with these. Let me see, how does it go? How's this working? How does this work for me? Because, you know, we do need to try something before we can really know. And sometimes we need to translate what we hear or what someone else is saying, and find how does that sort of sit in my own experience, or how do I apply that in my own experience? So that may or may not have been of any help to whoever asked the question, but hopefully in speaking about it, I may have also touched on things which are relevant for more of you here. And when we start to have some interviews tomorrow, whoever's asked the question, can bring that up again if necessary. So I'll leave it there for that. So if you find right now that you need to just change your posture, and you've been listening quietly, sitting quietly for about 20 minutes, and maybe we'll sit for another 20 or 25 minutes, if you feel you need to just adjust your posture, or you need to stretch and stand up a moment or something like that, please go ahead. I can share with you that I have back pain. That isn't why I'm sitting on the chair though. It's because I have a bad knee. I can't sit on the floor. And it's the first time I've ever taught a retreat sitting on a chair. So this is new for me too. I'm just briefly noticing around the room. Many of you seem to have quite good posture, so I won't say more about that now, but we might say a little bit more about that later. And once we're in a good enough posture, good enough position, taking the first few minutes in a real sense of arriving, settling into sitting. With our back, unless you really need the support of a chair, then it's preferable to be and not to be leaning back, so that we're actually self-supporting. Most chairs and don't really support the body to be naturally upright in a way where it's open. Taking a little bit of time to allow your attention just to come back again and again, gently revisiting how does it feel sitting on the ground or on your chair. And the actual sensations where we feel the touch of our body. There's nothing that special about it, which is fine. You know, we're not looking for anything special. We're just noticing where are we in contact. If you're sitting cross-legged on the floor, then you know, your legs will also be in contact with the mat or with the carpet. Sitting on a chair, and your feet, where are they touching the floor? You might have a sense of the hole of your feet. Or you might have, you might be able to discern or just notice, are your two feet equally on the floor? I notice I'm sitting and there's slightly less pressure on my right foot than on my left foot. That's what it feels like. So I just notice that's how it is. I'm sort of interested around that a little bit. You know, am I holding that leg? Am I holding my right leg differently from my left leg? But I don't really notice anything. And it seems fairly relaxed, so it's fine. It's just how it is at the moment. And then for a moment my attention just went to my shoulders, partly because I noticed my arms softening and relaxing a little bit. Sense of my arms just very slowly, sense of them dropping. So even though I have my hands on my lap, my arms are being supported from below. Just trying to notice, am I sort of holding them up as well with my shoulders? Or can I allow my arms to rest more from my shoulders? Let the weight of the arms be held more by my lap. For a few moments in between the words, in between speaking, and also just trying to rest a little bit with how my breathing is, just noticing it particularly in my belly, letting my belly be fairly soft and open. And I'm not trying to do anything with my breath at all. And actually not giving it too much attention. Because I tend to find if I do that, I tend to be trying to control it or make it somehow different from how it wants to be. So it's more an attitude of receiving, just like how is the body breathing right now? What's it like? As I feel into the breath a little more, then I notice a little bit more of a sense of almost like a downward push my body, and I feel my base of my spine, and I feel myself sitting much more firmly on the chair. Perception begins to fade. So I'm just describing, you know, for a minute or two, where my attention is going, what I'm drawn to, and how I give it attention. I'm not suggesting that you're going to be noticing the same things. It's more to give you permission. What do you notice? Where does your attention get drawn? Can we touch that lightly without needing to get sucked in? Create a story about it. Just noticing what it is. Physical sensation, perhaps. Or if it's something of a more like an emotional tone, or a mood even. You know, perhaps we notice this mood we're in. And perhaps this afternoon we're feeling sleepy, or we're feeling a little restless, or a little bit irritable, a bit sad. And where do we notice that? How do we notice that? What is it we're aware of, which we then take to mean, that's how I'm feeling? And if there isn't anything which is particularly strong, particularly grabbing our attention, or seems like it's shouting at us, you know, saying, look at me, I'm here, we will notice that our attention will shift around a bit, which is completely fine. Be helpful if we try to have a sense of containing it, or be more interested perhaps in the sensations and the sense of body, because we easily get lost when we go into more of a mental realm, into the thoughts and the stories. We tend to disappear then. And so if we notice that, then value that moment of noticing, and then just coming back again to something a little more tangible, a little more grounding, the body, perhaps noticing. Certainly if we have been lost in thought, or if we've allowed ourselves to follow a train of thought and imagination or memory, and then when we notice that, just seeing again, how does it feel in the body? How does your body feel? Often we'll notice there are ways in which we've tightened up. There may be little feeling tones which have been triggered by the thoughts, or amplified by the thoughts. And we can notice the residue of those. Like, oh, interesting. Does it feel pleasant? Does it feel unpleasant? Does it feel neither? Does it provoke a response? You know, maybe maybe a small sense of resistance or not wanting, trying to push away or get rid of it. Or if it's something we like, it's like, oh yes, thank you, great. More of this, please. Perhaps we find ourselves disinterested. Which could be either something like boredom, restlessness. No, this doesn't really matter, and there's nothing much. Or it could be a genuine, it's just what it is. That the mind is quite steady, still. Judgment about this, about how we should be able to, or what we should be experiencing. It's getting to know this range. In a moment I'm going to ring the bell and encourage you at the end of a period of sitting. Sometimes we've been struggling, we're waiting for the bell. So when the bell goes, it's like, and you can stretch and soften. But if it's not been a struggle, or it's like we reach the end of the sitting and actually it's good enough, maybe there's some discomfort, something isn't, it could be easier, but it's not that bad. And let's not be in a hurry. Often we feel something isn't right, and then are a sort of fix-it mode. I just sort of hit that on the head with a hammer. That'll make it feel better. That's often our approach. Maybe just take a little while, because we finish, to stay, if you want, with your eyes closed, and to sense from inside your body, just a sense of, actually, now that I can move more freely, more easily, what would my body like to do? What does it need to do? So rather than me doing something, we're more allowing the body to do what it needs to do. Thank you very much for your patience and your dedication. I'll repeat what I said earlier. Yesterday evening, Laura and I, we started to see your the forms you handed in and you gave. So we could get a sense of, who's here and what's alive for you, as you come on the retreat. We notice quite a lot of you don't have a lot of meditation experience. A lot of you is first time on retreat. Already this is quite a lot. And than we were expecting, there might be a bit more restlessness and agitation and so on. And, as I said before, at least on the surface, that's not how it's been. Sometimes when we're inside it, maybe from where you're sitting, it's like, oh gosh, it's so long, it's really hard. It's only one day. Actually, I think you're doing really well. And it's quite tangible sense of settling, slowing down, settling. That takes a lot. So it's really important in our practice, because it can be tough, it can be hard. Getting nowhere. Sometimes we need to pat ourselves on the back. I'm doing okay. Staying with it. Yeah. Okay. Do you want to say anything? No. Okay. So are we going to walk? And it seems like we need a change of posture and energy. There's something very valuable about alternating periods of sitting and walking or practicing in different postures, because they each, they do something slightly different. Each of us might have a preference for sitting rather than walking, or lying down rather than sitting, and so on. And it's fine to have our preferences. They each can do something a little bit different. Some of my teachers, or some of my teachers' teachers, they said they learned far more from their walking meditation than from their sitting meditation. Almost seems heretical, or Buddhist monks to say that. They would really emphasise, you know, it was when I was on my walking path, that's when I really had a lot more insights. That's when I, more of those moments where I really noticed something, really saw something that I was doing. Maybe a view I was holding, an assumption I was holding, a way I was doing something. And it wasn't that they didn't value sitting. They said, I mean, when they were sitting, sometimes the mind would just be, sometimes just be very quiet. It could be sort of nice enough, pleasant. But then, you know, you can't sit all day. It's like going on holiday. You know, you can go on holiday and you have a nice time, but then you have to come home and it's normal life. But I come on retreat, and you come on retreat, and then you have to go home and it's normal life. You know, on holiday, yeah, sometimes we value a holiday just because we need a break from the normal. We just need a rest from that, a change. You know, something which just helps us to blow a few of the cobwebs out, and then we get a bit stale, we get a bit flat. Something just to give a little more zip, a little more zest, a little more interest. You know, and then maybe we come back refreshed to home, to work, so on. And it can be the same with, you know, with our sitting and with our walking. But with walking, you know, inevitably, you know, the mind is a bit more active, because we are more physically active. So just acknowledge that, and I don't want to get into a long saying a lot more, because I noticed I could. And I think that, you know, there is a lot more about walking, a lot more about sitting. And we could say, but it's like just a bit at a time, and then and please just work as best you can with what we're suggesting. Inevitably you'll take that and sort of translate it into your own experience, or, you know, how that might work for you, how you might try and apply that. And recognise also, you know, if there are things which are a bit new, that it is new, and it's like, well, I know, try doing it, I do this. See how that is. You know, maybe you do that for a week or two, and who knows, maybe in 6 months' time, in a different situation, different place, someone else maybe will say pretty much the same thing, and you'll hear it a little bit differently, or you'll receive it a little bit differently. Or you'll be in a little different place in your own experience. You know, 6 months, you're not quite the same person. And it'll land differently. And you'll find, I'm partially fine. And I do it like this. This is really interesting. Oh. It's like a whole door opens up, a whole new window into perhaps a way of practicing. It's nice when it happens. Okay, so we'll go outside and walk, and we'll ring the bell in about 30 minutes or so.